Hi, it's Doug Karsh. That's Scott Anderson. Hello, Scott Anderson. How are you today?
I'm all right, Doug Karsh. How are you?
I'm good. Anything exciting last night in the Gator household?
Exciting. I was excited for my mother because Comcast came out, or Xfinity came out, to fix an issue. Victor, the technician, was incredible.
Victor?
Went above and beyond of what I expected. I was like, wow, okay.
Customer service shout out? You're giving him a Victor customer service shout out?
He was great, and I like to see that because I know that sometimes companies get bad raps, and Xfinity is certainly one, and not this experience. He was awesome, and really appreciate that helping her out, which is helping me out. Mm-hmm. And so that was good. And then came home and I'm like, where's my sports?
Right.
it's this time of the year, right? And it's a Monday, so there's no Tigers. So I made a couple decisions. One, I bailed on 10 minutes into it. I bailed. And then I committed to like 2.5 hours, and I'm not sure that was the right decision either. I started to watch a show, season 2, episode 1, and I couldn't do it. I'm 10 minutes into it, and I just couldn't get into it.
So you gave it 10 minutes. This sounds like me.
I gave it 10 minutes.
It sounds like me. This is the kind of thing I do.
This is not like, and Kane knows, this is not like me.
No.
Yeah, that I typically commit, and I don't know if I'm going to come back to it. I don't know. I just wasn't in the mood. I thought I'd be in the mood for it. I started checking it out, and I'm like, eh.
So you watched the entire season 1.
Season 1 was great. Yeah.
What's the one about the British? The British mob?
Oh, no. That's only one season so far.
I know. I just
they haven't gone to season 2. Okay. Mobland.
No. All right. No.
That's fine. I can't wait for that.
All right. I don't know, man. What was it?
Kang, do you care to take a guess?
I'm clueless, man. I have no idea.
Squid Game 2.
Oh.
I tried. Oh. And again, maybe my head just wasn't in the right space for it to get into it, but I start watching episode 1 of season 2, loved the first season of Squid Game, right? That was all the rage like 3-4 years ago whenever it came out. And I knocked that series out in like 2 days. Loved it. And last night I tried and
couldn't do it. Huh?
Again, I might come back to it, but I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Huh.
So I have a question for you.
Yep.
Is it because you can't get over what happened in season 1? To, you know what I mean? Because
no,
maybe
I know
in your
saying,
mind
yeah.
There shouldn't even be a season 2.
I'm sure that plays a role subconsciously, but overtly it was not there in my head. There's no doubt that the last 30 seconds of season 1 pissed me off.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. But I don't know. I just didn't like how this was setting up and how it was starting. And then I'm like, do I really care? Because, you know, I'm trying to guess what the premise is going to be from here on forward. Where, hey, it's another opportunity to win money, and you know, if they're just trying to figure out who the guys are, I'm like, do I care? Do I care that hey, it's some rich dude or what? I don't know if I care enough to go back. We'll see. But I didn't care enough last night to continue watching after 10 minutes, and then I decided to watch a movie that I had wanted to see that came out a couple years ago, and that was a sequel as well. And I watched it, and I was entertained by it, but even though I was entertained by it, even after a while, I was like, all right, enough of this. My God. A little much, all this. But I still enjoyed it, but that movie could have been, they could have shaved, and I'm not kidding, a half an hour off of this movie, and it would have been way more impactful. It would have been fine. But the way that this series, if you will, has gone of movies with the original, and now they've had 3 sequels, and now with another spinoff to make it 4, I guess. Not to mention a TV series. This one was just like too much.
Okay, what was it?
Even for me.
What was it?
I saw John Wick 4 last night. Man. I love the John Wick movie.
I don't.
But each one that, like the first time, when you go through John Wick the first time, the first John Wick experience with Keanu Reeves, I think you watch it and you go, wow, well, that's a lot of violence in a short amount of time. And okay, I mean, ridiculous. You suspend all kind of, you know,
right.
realm of what's real, what's not. It's kind of cool, this underground assassin group, whatever, that they have their own rules and their own currency and all this. And they live right among you, but you have no idea. They clean up their messes and apparently cops don't care. But the violence that was in the first movie, Like, there's a scene in the nightclub where John Wick's character shoots himself out of a jam and kills like 50 people.
Yeah.
While he's doing it. They're all henchmen. Nobody, none of the innocent people get killed. That was like, wow, that's I don't buy it, but it was fun. It was cool. Then you see it again in the second movie, but they kind of up the ante a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there's more people and more ridiculousness. Then there's the third movie. And they really up the ante to ridiculousness. You're like, come on. And then it ends and you're like, come on. All right. So that's it, right? He's done. He just, you know, kind of fell from a 6-story building, whatever. And then he's not there anymore. He's the boogeyman. Boogeyaga. And whatever. I still enjoy the movies. I'll watch.
It was just
the
too
fourth
much.
One. Yep. And then it happens last night. And there are there's at least two elongated fight scenes that last forever, where it's just shoot, samurai sword, whatever, you know, doing some martial arts to get out of things, grab another gun, shoot. And at one point I was like, wow, I got to catch my breath here. 'Cause that's ridiculous. And I paused the movie and I literally said outside to myself, I wonder if he's going to kill 50 more people in this single scene. And I hit play. And I got to like 57 more people. And I'm you've got to be kidding
me. You feel the way about that movie the way I felt about the first one, where I was just like, all right.
I mean, it's just, yeah, I apparently, because it was just way too much. Way too much.
Well,
and then the whole premise of the end of it, who he goes against at the end, is absolutely ridiculous. I don't want to spoil it, although I kind of want to spoil it, because you people should not spend your time watching it.
You've turned hostile in this one segment.
I really have. And I like the John Wick series. And I want to see Ballerina because Ana de Armas is smoking hot. But beyond that, I don't know.
Well,
if they make a sixth one, I'm not going to.
You're not in.
Yeah. Although it might be hard to make a sixth one.
All right. It's Carson Anderson. And that gets you set up for the day. We got a lot to get into today, including Tarek Skubal's comments, which we will do coming up here in the first hour of the show. I think he went a long way to try and tamp down speculation, but anytime he talks about what's going on, people react to it, and you can't help but read into what he's saying. And he's basically begging people not to read into what he's saying. It was a very interesting story. We'll get to that coming up here in the first hour. Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Hey, folks, got some great news. We know that it is hot. Boy, is it hot. So if your AC is struggling or simply not working at all, it's time to call my great friends over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Now, they've been keeping homes in Southeast Michigan cool and comfortable for over 20 years. I know this firsthand. They came out to my house about 3 weeks ago. It was awesome, quick and easy, and they actually discovered a problem in my furnace and fixed that. Then they came out to my mom's house, hooked her up, came out to another friend's house, and turns out that they need a whole new upgrade in their entire system, and that's being done as we speak. They are amazing. The attention to detail is fantastic. So whether you need a quick repair or a seasonal tune-up or the brand-new system, their expert team is fast, friendly, and local, and don't wait for a meltdown. You don't want to do that. Call Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling today or visit birminghamplumbingco.com. That's birminghamplumbingco.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Hope everybody survived the heat yesterday. It's going to be another hot one today here in Metro Detroit. Dr. Carsh, Scott Anderson, Kang. Kang is back. And people may or may not have noticed, you know, he's a big part of the show, but he hasn't been here for, is it 10 days you were gone?
I think a total of 10 days. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
10 show days.
Unfortunately, and sadly, it was not for a great reason that you were gone.
No, and you guys know this. And sometimes, you know, we let people know on our personal life a little bit. But I've been gone for a while because my dad passed away last week. Actually, late the following week, and I was off all last week. You know, love my dad. He wasn't perfect, but he was my dad. Love him always well, always have. And, you know, there's no doubt I'm where I am today because of all the things my dad did for me, sacrificed for me and my family. So, you know, I can't thank him enough for all that stuff, you know? And part of the reason I love sports so much is because of my dad. Part of the reason that my humor is the way I am is because of my dad as well. I don't know if you guys know that at all, but my dad was a funny guy. And I didn't know this at the time, but, you know, you take on a lot of your, you know, your dad's attributes without even knowing it, right? Just growing up and kind of just imitating, and all of a sudden you're like a sponge, right? Some of the stuff just kind of just sticks with you. So the way his sense of humor was, I didn't really realize until I got older that I was kind of like my dad a lot when I made certain jokes. And he was, yeah, he just, he definitely stuck out to me in a lot of ways. And I'm going to share just a couple quick stories about sports and how my dad, you know, these things stuck out with me as I was growing up. One was, my dad did not know anything about baseball, and I wanted to play Little League Baseball. And so he let me play, of course. And he offered me one piece of advice only. It's the only piece of advice he ever offered
me. This piece of advice cracks me up.
And he said, Kang, just don't ever make the last out. And so this is a great and bad piece of advice, I thought. Because great because like as long as there's less than two outs, I was relaxed. I went up there, who cares? I'm not going to make the last out. But if there was two outs in the game, no matter what the score was, pressure was on. Because dad said, do not make the last out. Because basically he was saying it will be all your fault if you lose because you made the last out.
Just don't make the last out.
Yeah, no matter
man.
What the score was. So I always thought that was funny for me. And the second one was I played rec league basketball for the city, right? Like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever. This one game was funny because there was some kind of controversial call. Yes, that's right, in city rec league. Mm-hmm. And my head coach got into it with the ref a little bit and kind of was arguing for me or whatever, taking up for me. And then my dad saw this and decided to help out the head coach and make up his, you know, hey, you know, help the head coach out a little bit with his argument. And I didn't know this, but you can get a technical foul even if you're not on the coaching staff. So my dad got a technical foul from the third row. And yes, it was a technical foul because the other team got two shots and possession.
Oh, wow.
So is that even legal, by the way, now that I look back at it? But that was hilarious to me, actually, thinking back on it. And so, yeah. Just, you know, I just want to give a shout out to my dad, and hopefully he's at peace now. So, yeah, been gone, but good to be back. And like I said, my dad helped me definitely fall in love with sports at a young age.
We, you know, what you said about being who you are today is a reflection of, you know, the influence that your father had over you. And I know the husband and the father that you are. I know the work ethic you have here and what you bring to our show. He should be very proud of you.
Absolutely.
And who you are. So,
glad to have you back.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to hear for your loss.
We are, you know, deepest of sympathies, of course. And just wanted to give you an opportunity and you know, people asking where Kang has been. Kang is back, although he's going to get a much needed break soon. It's a good time to get away. You got to
Yeah, at first it sucked, but I thought, oh, this sucks. I'm going to have to leave right away. But actually, it's a good thing. I need to reset, process what everything that happened, and get back to regular Kang, regularly scheduled Kang.
Right? And the humor thing, I didn't know that your dad was as funny as you are.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it till like the more I made jokes, my family would be like, man, you're kind of like dad the way, because he would kind of troll us all the time and do certain like maybe non-PC jokes or whatever, off-color stuff, but he was really funny. And the funny thing about him too was he did not like Detroit sports teams. His favorite players growing up were Julius Irving and Larry Bird. And that I think that's why I like Michael Jordan. I didn't think I was supposed to like local guys. Like, because of my dad.
Oh, those are two pretty good players. Julius Irving and Larry Bird.
Yeah. Dr. J.
Was basketball's favorite sport?
Basketball and tennis. So I watched Yvonne Lendl growing up and Boris Becker. And who else was bigger than Michael Chang, Agassi, all that those guys.
Was your dad an athlete?
Yeah, he played basketball. So... And I was mad at him because I'm like, I'm short because of you. I would be really mad because I fell in love with basketball, the one sport you really need height, by the way.
Yeah.
And my dad was like 5'4". And now looking back at it, though, I go, I actually beat the odds. I'm 5'8". You know what I mean? I'm like, I surpassed what I was supposed to be. So thank goodness.
Thanks, Mom.
Right? Thanks, Uncle somewhere.
Yeah. Well, from a standpoint of you as an athlete, having played basketball with you and football, you're a pretty good quarterback. Had a pretty good arm on him and pretty good guard as well. So, and a decorated, you had a decorated karate career, right?
Yeah. That was all my dad too, by the way. Yeah. Yep. Sometimes they say it's a good thing or a bad thing. And your dad's your coach. Yeah. It could be bad.
Yeah.
Do we still have the trophy out here?
Once we did the whole renovation.
I was just going to say, I don't remember seeing it.
Cause I think the trophy was as tall as your dad.
Yeah,
probably was.
That was a tall.
That's not much of an exaggeration.
Trophy. Yeah, no.
That's literally like it's probably a 4.5 foot tall trophy.
It really was big. It really was big. But well, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
And again, our sympathies. So, look, the uncomfortable shift back to sports. The Tarek Skubal story today I guess it got posted yesterday, Chris McCoskey. And I actually really respect what Scooble tried to do here, because McCoskey obviously got him talking about the contract situation. And I haven't seen this anywhere else, so I don't know if it's an exclusive to the Detroit News. But he this is where I saw it, and it was posted yesterday. The quotes were from Sunday, and McCoskey got him to talk about the contract. And the one thing he did with the contract that he just said, look, there's no point in me talking about this. I know people are interested, but this isn't particularly the most healthy thing in the world for me to talk about. I'm going to read the quotes directly instead of paraphrasing. So this is at Steinbrenner Field on Sunday, and he starts Tuesday. And when the topic of the contract came up, he said, quote, listen, winning is where my focus is at. There've been some comments made that are interesting, not for me, but I'm going to be focused about winning and doing what I can do. And as an organization, that's where the focus should be too. Later he goes on to say, I just don't think it does any good to come out and say anything about what's going on. If something changes, I might comment on it, but it doesn't do any good. So I'm going to keep it to myself, to my agent, and to the front office. But McCoskey says he wanted to doubly make sure that he wasn't being misconstrued. Quote, it doesn't mean I don't want to be here or that I'm against an extension. It doesn't mean any of that. I just don't want to talk about it. I'm very happy playing here. I like our coaching staff. I like our team. But there is a business side of the game that is much different than the playing side. He was asked a little bit later about his legacy and does he want to be like Randy Johnson or Gerrit Cole or Justin Verlander. All of them have won a championship, right? At some point, I want to win a championship. That's what motivates me to keep putting in good days. I'm not saying I'm not looking at a championship 3 months from now. I'm going to put in the work to get there. But that's just some underlying motivation, especially when the crappy days we've had in terms of travel and schedule and all that stuff. When you look at the ultimate goal of what you're trying to accomplish, it gives you motivation to get through all the crappy sleep schedule and stuff we've been dealing with. He says he knows that people are going to keep talking about it. And, you know, he's just doesn't want to talk about it. Quote, it has nothing to do with me not wanting to be here. I hope that's clear. But there's a business side of this game that's not as beautiful as the baseball side of this game. That's just what it is. I think this is a wonderful job of conveying. I believe him. I believe him. I believe.
You believe him in what respect?
I believe him that he just doesn't want to talk about it because it doesn't do any good. And he doesn't want to misconstrue people, and he doesn't want it to be but he's going to get asked about it. And the reason he doesn't want to talk about it is it just doesn't, it's pointless, and people are going to read into whatever he says. So, and I love that he kept saying, I like it here. I'm happy here. I like my team. I like the coaches. I like playing here. But, you know, I think it's a decent job of trying to really bring us into what he's thinking. Cause I don't think there's any decision that's been made. I think it's all being made by the lawyers. It's Scott Boras's baby. And I can't stand it. Cause I think Boras's ultimate goal is to set records with every contract, and It's easier to set records elsewhere.
It is. And that's what has me concerned. Cause I can read through these quotes and as much as the next person. And I can appreciate that he says he likes his coaches, likes his team, likes being here. But in the end, it's about him winning, and winning is winning championships. Because when they asked about the other players, he said, well, they've all won championships, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, it doesn't mean we're going to win a championship 3 months from now, but I'm going to train like that. And, you know, basically what he's done here is defer to the agent.
Yeah.
Which is what he should do. This is why you have an agent in the first place, right? I mean, you want to take yourself out of the negotiating process because things get said that will piss you off if you're part of a negotiation. It happens. Anybody that's ever gone through a negotiation, there will be some uncomfortable moments. This is why you hire the agent, so they take the brunt of that because they have the thickest skin of all. Whatever. I'm still coming at you with the ammunition of what we have. And what we think is why my client's worthy of what we're asking for, and they can do that. Now, all that being said, because I think it's the right thing to defer to your agent, he still, yes, he says some nice things about the team and all that, but he also still says that there's a business side of the game that's not as beautiful as the baseball side of the game. That's just what it is.
He's right.
So, well, he is. He's 100% right. But that's going, and if you're going to look at things and parse his sentences and try to understand what's being said here, I mean, I can take out of that that ultimately it's going to come down to who's going to pay him the most, and the teams that can pay the most are the teams that are most competitive, and those are teams that are close to winning.
But he could, well, I'll get to it because we're up against a break. I have another take on that, and we'll get to it at 10:32. Scooble speaks of his contract and really tries to tamp down. Please don't read into any of this. I know people are interested, but I don't like talking about it because it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do, all it does is, I don't want to be misconstrued. I like it here. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. So, basically, Scooble, I think, kind of did McCoskey a solid to a degree, and maybe everybody who's so interested in what he's thinking about his contract, and said, okay, I'm gonna answer some questions about it, but I'm not gonna say anything. But I'm begging you not to read anything into this. You know, I mean, he said it has nothing to do with me not wanting to be here. I hope that's clear. There's a business side of the game, and it's not as beautiful as the baseball side of the game. It's just what it is. That was the second time in the second part of the quotes where he says, you know, please don't read anything into it. I'm just trying to win here, and I like it here. It doesn't do any good, and so I'm going to keep it all to myself, to my agent in the front office. I think, but of course, you know, do we read into it? Yep. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt from this regard and say, I'm going to go ahead and respect that. I'm not going to read anything into it. And if you think that these quotes mean he's leaving, fine. One of the reasons why I think it might not mean that he is leaving is because one of the negotiating tactics that people have that makes some sense is, okay, I want to stay here, but I also want to get paid as much as I can get paid. And the only way I can accomplish that is to make them uncomfortable. If they think they've got me wrapped up, then I'm not going to get their ever get to their bottom line final, this is their last offer. How do I get to that bottom line final, this is their last offer? I don't say anything. I keep vague. And if it's, I mean, it is a negotiating tactic, whether or not that's what he's up to here, I have no idea. But the less you say, the longer this drags out, the more uncomfortable the Tigers as an organization get, then you get closer to getting that one final last, this is it. This is as far as we can go. And if you don't make them uncomfortable, I don't know that you ever get there. So anyway, that's where I'm at with this. And I hope that's what's going on. Because I think in the end, I don't know if there's anybody around here that doesn't want to see Scooble in Detroit, in a Detroit jersey for a long time. And we can debate the length because every time we bring up the silly, piffy little sidebar, hey, how about 10 years, $400 million, $450 million, or whatever that was floated in the Barstool podcast. It was, I feel like it was kind of a tongue in cheek, said in jest kind of deal. But when it came up, people were like, 10 years is too much. So, we want Scooble to be paid what he's worth, just because it's good for the organization to pay players what they're worth. We want him to pay the right period of time, you know, the contract that isn't, and we want him to be happy here.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the end, this is not going to, if there is a negotiation that's being taken place, I doubt highly that it gets done this offseason, this upcoming offseason.
Yeah.
I think it's probably something that might get tabled until maybe next spring. Going into the season, I say that just because that's what happened with the Tigers and trying to get Max Scherzer on board. That's when they gave Miguel Cabrera a contract, was going into a season. So we'll see. My gut tells me that the Tigers aren't going to be able to hang on to him simply because they just can't bid with the big boys. They just can't do it. They could offer him an awesome contract. They could give him an 8-year, $400 million deal, $50 million a year, and the Yankees can trump it.
Yeah.
The Mets can trump it. The Dodgers can trump it. You know, the Cubs can trump it. Whoever it is, they can all do better. And I think he knows that. I think the Tigers know that. The Tigers can just make their best offer, but that's down the road. Nonetheless, next year at this point, if he still is not under contract, the questions are only going to intensify.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to become this deal where you have to say, are they going to trade him or not? Or just ride out the season, depending where they're at a year from now. And that's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be itchy. It's going to be all types of uncomfortable when it comes to next season if they don't have a deal done.
And the problem is here, of course, just these quotes that he's trying to beg people don't read too much into it.
But how are you not supposed
to? I don't know how you're not supposed to. And he answered the questions, but said it doesn't do any good to talk about this. But your point about hiring an agent, like those negotiations, who knows what they're like? Who knows? And what was it? I got the story also included the Harris quotes from a couple weeks ago when he was on that podcast. Joel Sherman and John Heyman. Last month, Scott Harris, we can't just decide we're going to sign him. It takes two parties and some understanding of the parameters of a deal, and it takes a willingness on both sides to actually do it. And Harris, I think later kind of cleaned that up and said, I'm not saying they're not talking. I'm just saying we don't just get to say, hey, we're going to sign him Tuesday.
Yeah, both sides are being very careful about this. And, you know, Scott Harris and the Tigers organization have been very tight-lipped about anything that goes on within that organization. You know, you don't find out until like right before it happens. And even then, sometimes you don't find out until it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with injuries. It goes with player acquisitions. It goes with everything. And Scott Boras he's going to do right by his client in terms of getting his client the best contract possible. So I doubt that takes place anytime soon because he's got a year and a half before the contract, before his free agency comes up. And the pressure's on the Tigers to get something done. It's not on Scott Boras to get something done. So I think if you're Tarek Skubal, you're probably under advice from your agent to just not say anything, which is basically what's happened. Hey, you know, doesn't do me any good to say anything. You're right. It doesn't. So they're going to follow up with a question. Say, well, do you like it here? And you say, yes, love it here. Absolutely. I love it here. Do you want to be here? Yeah. I want to win. And we got a winning team. Looks great. But, and in negotiation and all that stuff, I'm not going to talk about that. That's done through my agent. That's done through Scott Harris. Those guys are going to deal with it. So I'm just out here doing the best I can do to help my team win. And right now, we're the best team in baseball.
248-539-9797. Kevin and Frazier. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
Okay.
Hey, you know, it's something that I assume that were smart enough to have done, but since, you know, obviously they're not going to share any details on their negotiations, but the one thing we have is a half a year this year and we've got next year, and I think he's going to make 22 or 23 million next year, and I'm not sure what he makes now, but we should be turning that into 40 million because that's what he's worth, and then if we want to extend him for 5 years at 40 million, so we give them 280 million for this year, next year, and 5 years. That's our advantage, right? That's the only thing we can do that nobody else can do because we know
sign him now to a massive extension, so he doesn't have to wait for free agency.
Exactly, and pay him what he's worth this year and next year, and that's the only carrot we have. And I assume that they've done this and thought of this, and Boras might not be enough for them, but
well,
that's for sure what we should do, right? That's the only way we're going to get them at anything.
There was a story that's kind of hard to really know what happened there, but there was a story where I think it was Evan Petzold that had the quote about the Tigers had made a non-competitive offer. Now, you can almost be assured that particular wording came from the Boras camp. Right. I mean, Tigers aren't going to say
that. We made an offer. It was non-competitive.
Yes. So, you know, with that in mind, it sounds like that was probably part of trying to do just that.
Yeah. If that's not good enough, I get it. Right. And he can go make more. But that's the only thing we can do is pay him fairly for this year and next year and hope that I'm thinking 280 for 7 years, and that's probably not enough. And then we've got to decide if it's worth it, you know?
Yeah. And he's making just over $10 million this year. He's arbitration eligible next year. So, yeah, it probably goes up. I don't know how far up, but let's say it is $20 million to go to $20 million. So there is that is interesting if you throw, you know, you basically you rip up this situation right now and that contract starts with next year, which would be the last year going into free agency if you want to get it 1 year ahead of it, but you got to pay him for that year.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, if it's 10 this year and 20 next year, and let's just say we agree he's worth 40, then that's $50 million we can give him that nobody else can give him, and right. That's, yep. You know, that's something.
Yeah, you'd like to see something like that pulled off. I don't disagree with you. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.
Hey, looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Well, Builders First Source has you covered. With four Metro Detroit locations, they specialize in top-quality composite decking. Brands that you trust, like Trex and TimberTech and AZEK. So whether you're a DIY enthusiast or you need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that stands the test of time. Visit one of their locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township, and discover why Builders First Source is your go-to for decking. Quality, service, and unbeatable value, that's the Builders First Source promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com.
All right, so it's an interesting story. Chris McCoskey did. Do you want to just read the tweet?
Okay. Chris McCoskey from the Detroit News.
Because we're talking about his story that he posted. It got posted yesterday, right before the end of our show. So on his Twitter, he has now tweeted something out.
Per MLB transactions, Tigers have signed Korean-born right-handed pitcher Woo Suk Go to a minor league deal. He's about to turn 27, a couple partial seasons in AAA with the Marlins. So we are now ushering in the Woo Suk Go era.
What can you tell me about Woo Suk Go?
I don't know much about Woo Suk Go. I'm trying to effort some of that. Let's see. Well, we know he's right-handed, a relief pitcher. 5'11", about a buck 90. Let's take a look at his stats here. In the Marlins organization, he's only pitched in one game. Well, actually, that's not true. So this year he's pitched a AAA in five games with a 1.59 ERA. It's only 5 2/3 innings. It's a very small sample size. He's only pitched in 15 innings total this year with a bunch of different levels, four different leagues. 16 hits and 15 and a third innings, 14 strikeouts. So, all right. I mean, it doesn't look like anything special. In the minors, in his career in the minors, he's thrown in 56 games with a 5.99 ERA and a 1.7 whip. Pitching in the Korean League in 7 years, his ERA is 3.18 with a 1.27 whip.
Well, I don't know that we have found our solutions to the bullpen problems with Woo Suk Go, but keep an eye on him. Something to monitor. You got to monitor Go a little bit now.
It's a minor league deal.
Where does he end up? Do we know to say where he's?
Doesn't say, but if he was at AAA with the Marlins, I imagine he's going to be at least AA, but probably, who knows? We'll see. I wouldn't get too excited about Woo Suk Go.
Here are the quotes from Tarek Skubal that have us talking this morning in McCoskey's story yesterday in the Detroit News. Listen, winning is where my focus is at. There have been some comments made that are interesting, not from me, but I'm going to be focused on winning and doing what I can And as an organization, that's where the focus should be. I just don't think it does any good to come out and say anything about what's going on. If something changes, I might comment on it, but it doesn't do any good. So I keep it to myself, to my agent, to the front office. It doesn't mean I don't want to be here or that I'm against an extension. Doesn't mean any of that. I just don't want to talk about it. I'm very happy playing here. I like our coaching staff. I like our team. But there's a business side of the game that is much different than the playing side. Later in the story, he goes on to say, it does nothing. It has nothing to do with me not wanting to be here. I hope that's clear. but there's a business side of the game that's not as beautiful as the baseball side of the game. That's just, it just is what it is. And look, because he spoke about contract negotiations and literally said almost nothing other than, I'm not going to talk, here's why I don't talk about it, and please don't read anything into it. It has nothing to do with me not wanting to be here. People are going to read into it, and I've already seen it come in. Like, some of the feedback coming in here in the early is, you know, he's as good as gone. Look, here's a text from Josh and Warren. He likes it here, but he doesn't love it. Love would mean he's already signed. It's about the money, and I respect him for being honest about it. Saying there's a business side means he just wants what's his. Yes. Yep. But if you could do both, you could, how do I maximize my profits in Detroit and get to make them uncomfortable? And the final last offer that we can get is the biggest one. Like, how do I get the most money out of Detroit and get to stay here? You have to make them uncomfortable in the negotiations, right?
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. But again, this is, you leave it all up to your agent. Your agent deals with it, so you don't have to, but eventually people are going to come up to you and ask you for comments. And he was surprised it took this long for somebody to ask him about it. So I think when you say something like that, by the way, which is what this article kind of starts off with, it tells me you sort of do want to talk about it. But I think in his respect, he wants to talk about it so he doesn't have to talk about it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm glad somebody finally asked this question. Here's the deal. I don't want to talk about it. So I don't have to say this anymore, even though I know I'm going to have to. I'm not talking about it anymore. This is, he said most of the right things you're supposed to say. So ultimately, it's up to the Tigers to be a good enough baseball team where they can win a World Series, win a championship, whether that's with or without Tarek Skubal. Hopefully, it's with him. I don't know if he's going to sign a contract beyond his time here with the Tigers. It'd be awesome if he did. Wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. But that is literally the business side of the game.
The one thing is that the Tigers are getting this done on the cheap. What the bang they're getting for their buck right now is incredible. Like, they are right now, the profits they're turning, the margins must be pretty high because they're selling the stadium out. They're probably getting good money for ad revenue. And their payroll's relatively low because they don't have a bunch of big money players. They can make a massive financial commitment, to Tarek Skubal. And there's no reason they can't be competitive with a lot of the big boys. The problem they have with being competitive with the big boys is you can do it for one player. But eventually those media markets went out. And I always think of the, Hideki Irabu, the pitcher that came over from Japan. He was one of the first guys that came from Japan and was a big money guy at the time. And I think the Padres owned his rights and somehow he ended up with the Yankees. And it turns out he stunk. I mean, he was nothing special. His career was not what it was expected to be. And I remember as a Padre fan thinking, thank God we didn't get him because we wouldn't recover from that bad money. And that's what could happen to a Tiger team is they can do everything they can to keep Skubal, but eventually they get to a point where they're going to lose too much money to keep signing their own guys, A, and B, if a guy's a bust, if Skubal gets hurt, they can't recover as quickly and as easily as what it means to a team like the Tigers and that time the Padres. If you have that, you got to restart a rebuild with younger and more affordable players.
When I asked the question, I think it was last Friday, I said, you know, who on this team do you think is going to be here in 2030? It's a hard question to answer.
It is a hard question.
With any kind of certainty, because you just don't know, you know, what kind of trajectory players' careers take. You know, look at where Kerry Carpenter's at this year. It's not a very good year for Kerry Carpenter. At least it's not a good month. It's been a terrible month.
Yeah.
And maybe that's all it is. Let's hope that's all it is, that, hey, June, yuck, throw it in the garbage. Let's go out in July and have a great July. Finish June strong anyway. He started June incredibly strong with 3 home runs and 5 RBI against the White Sox. That was literally the first game he played in June. And he's done very little since. with no walks, no RBIs, no home runs since that time. And it's been like 20 games. But then you got Riley Green, who's on a great trajectory. And that's good to see. Torkelson is kind of back. All three of those guys are free agents after the 2029 season. So if you were to, let's say they get something worked out with Tarek Skubal, it's going to pay him north of $40 million a year. And you start to look at the payroll and where it's going to be. I mean, you're going to have to pay somebody down the road there. In addition to, let's just think about even next year. Gleyber Torres was signed to a one-year deal. He's an all-star.
Yeah, he's going to command. I want to bring him back. He's going to command big money, too.
He's going to command at least $20 million a year, probably for a three-year deal or more.
We're doing this with the Lions, too. Now, the difference is the Lions have a hard cap. There's a cap in the NFL. Well, people think you can work around it. You can for a bit.
Yeah, you can. It's not as
you do see a catch up
maneuver in the NFL cap than it is the NHL cap. But it is a harder cap for sure. And yeah, the Lions are trying to maneuver through all that, and they're doing the best they can. And I think that they've got a window to be very competitive for the next several years. The Tigers, there is no cap, so if they continue winning, though, winning takes care of that. You know, Mike Yelich didn't care so much as the team was winning. Hey, the payroll has gone up to 170, 200 million, 220 million, whatever it got up to. He was willing to pay it as long as the team was winning. And when you get 2.5 to 3 million people coming through the turnstiles, it pays for all that. But if you're not winning and then you're stuck with a massive contract or three massive contracts, then you have what the Tigers had in like 2016 and beyond, where they had to start selling off those parts.
So here's the feedback. I get there are bigger markets than ours, but the Tigers are still owned by a multi-billionaire family. You can't say they can't afford them. Nobody's saying they can't afford them. What the scary thing is if they get into a stare down, a game of chicken with the Yankees, and it just keeps turning into, okay, we'll tag another $5 million annually on. Okay, we'll tag another $5 million annually on. If that just keeps going and going and going, the Yankees are going to win out.
Well, yeah,
the Dodgers are going to win out.
Even though the owners might be multi-billionaires, which they are, the business model at some point, if you keep tacking on big contract after big contract, then the margin of profit disappears.
But
it still ends up being a business, despite the fact that they've got, you know, billions in their coffers. If the business isn't doing, if the business model isn't working, then things have to change.
I have no issue, and I am okay, and I think it's fair to say to an owner, I get that you're going to lose money on this contract, but we're trying to win here, and you hope that you'll get your money back, but hey, man, that's part of owning a sports team, is making these tough decisions, and how much do you want to win?
Yeah, I mean, as a fan on the outside, what I always say to myself when it comes to something like this is, okay, I mean, if the cost of business is that you lost $10 million, you've lost $10 million for each of the last 5 years, and that's $50 million, if you were to sell the team, how much profit would you make?
There you go. That's a great way to look at it. Doug and Gator, unfortunately, I think there's no way and no amount of money that Skubal will sign an extension with the Tigers. This is not the way Boris works. The Tigers would be better off trading him next season and then try and re-sign him when the market opens. I would love him to come back, but unfortunately, that's not how Boris operates. Look back at all of his clients, and lately, Boris, in my opinion, has lost his guys' money by overvaluing them. So you're saying Boris won't sign. He's more likely to re-sign with Detroit if they trade him than he is to sign an extension. I don't know. I'd have to look at the history of Boris' clients and see if that's true. I'm assuming you've looked this up. I tell you what, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in trading him now. And we got some of that recently. But if you are going to get into next year and they're not competitive for some reason, you know, I think you'd maybe then consider it. But at the end of the day, if they're competitive next year, I'm trying to win a championship still. But that's how Angels lost Ohtani. So let's hope that Boris breaks some mold and something changes. 248-539-9797. All right, so one of our teams, did they miss out on something? I don't know, but I can't believe a move that was made. We will get to that today at 11:05 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, no. Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.